Let's open our Bibles and back into this all-precious study in the Song of Solomon. Thanks be to God again for the Holy Ghost and His ministering to us. In Jesus' name, may He just lead us into, yea, the deep things by His Spirit. Praise God. That's been wondrous, and tonight, God willing, we're going into the sixth chapter of the Song of Solomon. And how wonderful did the fifth chapter conclude? She finally saw herself in Christ. She quit looking at herself. She quit looking at all the things around her. She finally settled down and saw herself in Christ. In Christ, in Christ. Praise God. You're going to have to pray for me to get through this one tonight. Happy, happy, happy in the Lord. What a complete fullness. Are we in Him? Is He in us? She finally is entered into filled with all the fullness of God. She sees what Paul, and turn over there with me to 2 Corinthians. She sees what Paul saw. This is the type, I should say. What Paul saw when he was taken in to paradise in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go read from verse 1. Paul says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." And Paul is speaking of himself. Now think of this too. At this time, he'd been running after the things of God for 30 years or so. So somewhere in the middle of that time, God takes him and gives him this precious vision and revelation, brothers and sisters. He says, "Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." See, brothers and sisters, he saw that man he hopes to be. He saw himself in Christ in that complete and perfect man. Praise the Lord. He saw himself, as we have been studying this precious Shulamite, as she saw, praise God, the precious vision of her bridegroom, but everything she saw about him was her place with him. Praise God. She saw Christ in her, the hope of glory. Now, so sweetly Paul says, but see, it's in mine infirmities that I glory. It's in my weaknesses that I glory. Now again, why does he say this? "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he hears of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation." See, God's going to take care of this for your life too. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." You got one of those? If you're running for his best, you got one. Oh, yes. Because you'd be in the same place. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And I don't know, brothers and sisters, this may be the only place preaching that anymore. And it's sad because you won't hear that anymore. They don't want to preach that anymore because men do not want to endure sound doctrine. That's right. It's just what it is. Not comparing. I'm just preaching the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So, in that, brothers and sisters, this is what that Shulamite saw in the fifth chapter. She saw herself in Christ. She saw the heights of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And as symbolized in those daughters of Jerusalem, we touched upon that going back to the sixth chapter, and we'll touch on those two verses here in a moment. But the daughters of Jerusalem that have been kind of in and out of this sister's life in different ways throughout this precious study, they represent today's Christians that have no desire for Paul's gospel. And notice, daughters, there's plenty of them. There's not many Shulamites. And we left off that these daughters of Jerusalem, they had no clue about what the Shulamite was talking about when she was expressing how beautiful her love was to her. They had no clue about what she saw in him. They could not understand why she didn't just love somebody else as well too, why it had to be him and why it had to be him in that intensity. She goes on and asks them where he's at, but we'll find out here in a moment. They know nothing about that. The only thing that they perceived is they were lacking something. They knew that she had something that they had no idea of. But praise be to God, she's not concerned with that anymore because she knows fully well. And it's off to the finishing line. And praise be to God, we're at this point. And I believe we're at that point right now, brothers and sisters. I really do. This is what's so exciting about getting into this home stretch of the study. These are the last strides. She's going to finish her course. She, by the grace of God, is going to finish here with a full joy. Hallelujah. So let's begin reading 1 and 2 of the Song of Solomon, verse 1 and 2 of 6th chapter. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? This is what those daughters of Jerusalem say to her. And she answers and she says, my beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather his lilies. How sweet, how wonderful, praise the Lord. So we see here again that these daughters of Jerusalem, they see that she has this wonderful intimacy with Jesus, with her lover. And obviously we know that this is typed in the bride and her relationship with Christ. And they know that this is lacking in their lives. I believe by the grace of God, and all by the grace of God, this is the story of your life at this time, and maybe for some time. You have dear ones that you love very much so, that are Christians, ones that you've loved in the Word of God for some time. But the Lord, in His great grace, has caused you to go on, has caused you to want the depth of the gospel of Christ. You've heard His voice, the Spirit, hallelujah. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And the Lord has blessed you. He's given you an ear. Everybody can have that ear, but you have that ear to hear it. And you're in tune, praise be to God, with that precious Paul's gospel. But these ones, they know that that precious sister has something that they don't have. This is why they can only say, where is thy beloved? Because the Shulamite said, where is my beloved? See, she knew he was hers. They could only observe from afar off and know that he was hers. So their response is, where is thy beloved? Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad? When you try to visit with somebody and praise God, you know the intimacy of the Lord and how dear and near and everything that he is. He's all in all. And yet it's like, hello, you've heard this, but hello, not an understanding. And how sad. But this is why, again, They see this afar off. They see that she is the fairest among women, it says here. They see that she's the most beautiful. They cannot deny her beauty. But they say to her, "Why has he turned aside?" they ask. "We want to seek him with you. We want what you have." But brothers and sisters, without the whole counsel of God, without Paul's gospel and the bridal message, and without staying with it and growing in it, you'll never enter into it. You won't. You have to be taught these things. And of late, I've heard so many wonderful things. I appreciate so much however Christ is preached. And I thank the Lord. I was listening to a brother tell me about this study, and it was precious. Don't get me wrong. But the whole thing left off to that we need to be seekers of the Word of God. I said, "Okay, well, you're there. So did you tell them what to seek?" And any church you're going to go into that's a Christian church, they're going to say, "Yes, you need to seek the Word of God." But without a teacher, you can't be taught. Without a preacher, you're not going to hear it. What did Paul say so precious to Timothy? "Timothy, preach the word." And then it got really specific. "Don't you preach any other gospel but my gospel. And if I come back and preach any other gospel but the gospel that the Lord had given to me, let me be accursed." And he went through it all. He talked about ones that had completely turned from it. Then he talked about ones like Demas that, well, they were in it, but then, you know what, they kind of turned to the world because it was just a softer sell. There was more that would come along and take that message. And then there were the ones that had the message, but yet they got hard in it. And cold in it, and judgmental in it. And then they wanted to think that they possessed it. When, let me tell you something, it's the Lord's. And it is. And as Brother Paul said so sweetly, "Don't you be telling me you're of Apollos and you're of Cephas and you're of Paul." Let me tell you something, we're of one, we're of Christ. But without hearing Paul's gospel, you will not. And embracing it. This isn't just something you hear or by rote, but embracing it, enter into it. You'll never grow up fully in a readiness and maturity to be in the bride of Christ. I've heard ministers speak of that say, "Well, you know, there's other way." No, there's not. It has to be Paul's gospel. And you have to hear it by God's grace. And he wants you to. Did you know that? He said, "I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth." That's the will of God. When people ask me, "What's the will of God? What's the purpose for my life?" Just take them right there. Are you saved? Great. Here you go. And you know what? That's for the rest of your life, isn't it? A full knowledge of the truth. Praise God, it is. And we can know, by God's grace, all His perfect and complete will. Amen? Because it's His will. I could never be my ability because we know that that's way beyond us. But praise be to God, I can know the love of Christ, every bit of it, because it's His will and His purpose for that in my life. Thank you, Lord. So see, brothers and sisters, this is so precious. And what a testimony this sister has. See, they wanted to defeat her, not intentionally, but see, when you're not going on with God's best, let me tell you something. There's going to be little quirks in your life. Things are going to be a little bit out of whack. And if you're not going on with Paul's gospel and you're trying to fellowship in the gospel of Christ with someone that's not going on with Paul's gospel, you're going to come to an impasse. You are. It's going to come. I'm not telling you that you don't love them and have some fellowship with them in certain ways and things of that nature, but that's not the intimacy of your fellowship. Because it will come to a point where there will be an impasse and you're going to have to make a decision. And we all know this. And God help us to always stand in love. Because you missed it if you try to hammer somebody too. Just say, "Honey, this is too good. We can't pass this by. We have to run on. And if you're not going to go, this is what the Lord wants for us. I'm not better than you. I'm not above you. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm in love. And someday you'll be like these daughters of Jerusalem and you'll perceive. You'll perceive. And I hurt because I know there's going to be many that say, oh, return to me. Return to me, O Shulamite. And I don't want that to be me. And I certainly don't want that to be you. So here we are. Praise God. So, she was not encouraged by them. The only encouragement they gave to her was to back off and not to be so intense about the things of God. But praise be to God, she stayed with it. And she said, oh no, His kisses, they're better than wine. Let him kiss me. I remember I said that. More importantly, he remembered and he came for my words. Amen, he did. And praise the Lord, she convicted these ones. And maybe there were a few, praise God, that wanted truly that relationship and would grow into it later on. Who knows? But see, mark her testimony, brothers and sisters, really. There's so much in here. But I'd be amiss to gloss over this without really encouraging. And I appreciate Brother Copley. There was an encouragement of this, so much so. Mark her testimony. It's all him. It's all him and how dazzling and wonderful and incredible and glorious he is. It's not me getting up and giving a testimony and telling you about how much I've suffered and how awful things have been and how great my love is for God. That's eventually just going to turn everybody away from that. Brothers and sisters, it's him. He's the one that's splendid. She's just went through the whole fifth chapter, and oh my goodness, what I am in Christ. It's all him. It's his glory. It's his light. But praise be to God, she's transformed into that glory. And at the end, praise the Lord, she's like him. She has her light, him. Praise God. So we thank the Lord for this, and how wondrous this is, this abounding hope that she was winning them with honey. She was expressing Christ as the lover of my soul. Now, why can't they find the bridegroom? Well, it's very simple here. They have no clue what he wants to feed on. Think about it. Where is he? Well, she knows. He's gone down into his garden. He's went to feed. But these, again, the majority of God's precious people, they have no idea what he wants to feed on because they choose not to feed on strong meat. But this Shulamite, she knows exactly where he is. He is at the place of feeding. He is at his garden. I mentioned this as we closed last week. Let's never forget where his garden is. Song of Solomon 4:16 and 5:1, it's her garden. He feasts upon her. See, this is so wonderful. His garden, her garden, her garden, his garden. Can you imagine that? We're back to the story of Esther. Honey, it's all yours. Amen? Oh, yes, it is. They're equally in ownership. They're joint heirs together. They feed upon one another. They're feeding on the same thing, praise be to God. And it says here that he has gone down to the beds of spices. Isn't that wonderful? See, these are the things that only the Holy Ghost can perform in our life. You find those things, the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5:22 and 23. And you know what? Let's just read that real quick. Galatians 5:22 and 23. I think we're going to have, you know what? I'm not going to worry about time. All right. So 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, listen to this. See, this is what the Spirit does in our life. And God, help us to want and desire and to thank Him and praise Him for this bubbling out of our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Isn't that wonderful? This is what He is feasting on. Upon in our lives, brothers and sisters, in His garden, our lives as we run for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what is he doing down there? He is gathering lilies. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I love it. He's gathering lilies. And how beautiful is this phrase? Brings in remembrance Luke 12:27, where it says there, consider the lilies, how they grow. You remember that? See, they don't toil, do they? They don't try. They don't make effort. They just grow. It's in them. What's in you? Huh? Christ in you? If you're a Christian, he is. You got it all. Matter of fact, you're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Matter of fact, Galatians 4:1 says you're a little Lord of all. You got it all. Full potential. I used to tell some of my basketball players, God's made you the Michael Jordan of heaven. I'm going to get some letters for that. But if you don't get it, I pray for you too. But let me tell you something. You got it all is what I'm saying. There's nothing to be compared. It's just the best because it's Christ. And, you know, everybody's trying to add to this or do that or whatever it is. But brothers and sisters, get it. Consider the lily. He's trying to, how many ways does he come at us? You're my workmanship, honey. I perform the good work which I've begun. It's grace. It's not of works. You cannot do anything of yourself. It's Christ in you. Matter of fact, you don't even live anymore. At the moment you gave yourself to God, Christ liveth in me. The life I used to live, dead. All things have become new. Isn't that wonderful? So I thank God how he does this over and over. But this lily, even all, and the wealth of Solomon, nobody was as wealthy as Solomon. He could not array himself like the lily. Now, what is this magnifying? He is mesmerized with the work of grace. That's all that captivates his attention. That's all that captivates all of heaven's attention, is the work of grace. And he gathers them up, it says. And what this word gather, I love it. It means to gather for oneself. He's not gathering for somebody else. He's gathering it for him. This is the one that's seeking that goodly pearl. It's that same thing, that merchant that sold all that he has, going out to glean that. And then how wonderful it is, too, that word gather to glean. Think of this. Those lilies, yes, they're going to be gathered. They're going to be caught up together with him. That's a gathering. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. Caught up together with Christ. This is where this is going. This is the first trump gathering. These lilies speak of Jesus, his life, his glory, the lily of the valley. And the lilies, praise God, if we remember again in this study, don't ever forget these little things, because the little things are so incredible. The lilies were the crowning on the pillars. In the tabernacle, the lily was the crown on the pillar. Remember of the Philadelphia church, as he says there in Revelation 3, I'll make you pillars in the house of the Lord. That's the crown that they have. Isn't that wonderful? So this is, again, what these lilies speak of. He feeds among the ones with the crown. Amen? He's gathering up the crowns. Hallelujah, the ones with the crowns. And what crown am I talking about? Well, in 2 Timothy 4, that's the crown. As Paul said, I've finished my course. Hallelujah. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. Hallelujah. There is therefore now a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. This is the exalted rank of righteousness. This is exactly what this is. And this is the garden that he is feeding in, that he is gathering the lilies. Is that your garden? Oh, what grace can do, huh? Man, nobody wants to go to my garden, but that's okay. It's his. That's a table for two, folks. Amen. 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 Now, let's get on to verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Now, if you remember back in chapter 2, she said something awful sweet in the 16th verse. It was so sweet what she said. She said it like this. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Very close, but very far apart. She was still concerned at that time more with her love for him as opposed to, I love him because he first loved me. Just even that sweetness of the very beginning. I realized he loved me, for God so loved. And that never changes, it only grows. He's always the head, it always comes from him, doesn't it? So here, praise God, as she sees herself in Christ, as she sees Christ in her, the hope of glory, this is the only way it can be now. And I'll tell you what, it's even going to get ramped up from here. But she says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved, hallelujah, is mine. See, he first apprehended me. He's apprehended me. As Brother Paul said, not that I've apprehended, but I hope to apprehend that which has apprehended me. Amen? Oh, yes. So this is where she has come to, that she knows it's all him. Hallelujah. She's realizing I am his. That's the paramount. It only gets more precious. I am his. I am the much loved of him. And my much loved husband, praise be to God, is what she's saying here, is mine. Her praise now is him claiming her. Isn't that wonderful? I love to tell people I love Jesus. But as I've grown in the Lord, I tell people how much Jesus loves me. And how much Jesus loves you. Amen? I love to tell him I love him. Don't get me wrong. But I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love for me. Hallelujah. This is what this is. And this is where she's come. And she gets it. Hallelujah. And she lays claim to him. This is the full purpose vision of the Ephesians. You read the book of Ephesians. And remember, Ephesians means fully purposed. Amen? Fully purposed. Praise God. Those were the Philippian saints in Ephesus. And praise the Lord that in this fully purposed the vision in Ephesians, you'll find it all the time in Christ. In Christ. Us in Christ. It's all in him. Amen. So see, we belong to him. We're for him, of him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, one. The glorious church, the bride adorned for him, vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace. Thank you, Jesus, how this is. We just give him the glory. And once again, what does he say? She says here, he feedeth among the lilies. Must be something about these lilies, brothers and sisters. He can't get over the lilies. These are the ones, again, that are changed by grace. If you ever want change in your life, it's going to come from one place, and that's grace. That's the truth. And when grace begins to be laid hold of in your life, then it's from glory to glory into his image. Praise his name. And that's like him, like the lily of the valley. Those lilies, the ones as Paul, the exalted rank of righteousness. And see, that exalted rank of righteousness, remember what that is. That's not to magnify them. That's, as Paul said, being found only in his righteousness. Amen? That's the exalted rank crown. It's not to magnify me. It's to magnify him. That's the crown, the exalted rank of righteousness are those that are transparent, that truly it's just him. And it's his marvelous grace. That's the crown. Hallelujah. That's why it's ruling and reigning jointly with him. That's why it's in the midst. It's his throne. And praise God, he shares that. The midst of the throne glory with him. Praise his name. I pray we lay hold of it more and more. But what a double portion this is. That's why he says this twice about the lily. That crowning, that's everything to him. That's everything to him. From the moment that we are encouraged, as the Father turned to the Son and said, Son, it's not good for man to live alone. This will be part of that wondrous plan, Son. That'll be the representation of that wounded rib with you on the cross. This one will suffer together with you, and she will be glorified together with you. So, Son, arise. Come on home and sit at my right hand until I tell you. Son, go get her. Go run through the field now, honey. She's ready to light off her camel. Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah. Comely as Jerusalem. Terrible as an army with banners. This is quite a lover. Now this is the bridegroom speaking. And oh, these are the words of love. Wondrous love to her. Their fellowship at this point on, brothers and sisters, will not be interrupted ever again. This is it. This is the home stretch. She's going to be taken away from here. She's going to be caught up together with him in the air forever. And I pray, Jesus, more than anything, if by any means, brothers and sisters, we right now are taking that place. Praise God. He is coming. By his grace, that sweet song, ready for the rapture, ready for the prize. Ready we shall surely be. Hallelujah. So that's what this is in this fourth verse. But the first thing he tells her, and I just want this to be so emphasized about how wonderful he is to us. Thou art beautiful. Isn't that wonderful? Thou art beautiful. I am so grateful to God, and you've heard me say this many times. Husbands, love your wives. You ever want a woman to respond to you? Let her know she's beautiful. Let her know she's beautiful. Let her know she's your first love. Amen. This just to encourage us all the way along. But praise the Lord. This is how our precious Savior deals with us. His word is always all encouraging. He draws us with one thing, love. He doesn't draw us in fear. He doesn't. I know sometimes we like to think of that, but no. We can be chastened in different ways, but when he really draws us, it's in his love, isn't it? Amen. He makes us to know that we're secure. Isn't that wonderful? Never a doubt there. He always lets us know that we are greatly loved by him and always will be. And there's never a doubt in that, is there? Always, no matter what we think, he sees us only in his grace. And that only makes us even more ravishing to him as we lay hold of it. But what he's saying here to her, in Thou Art Beautiful, O My Love, he's saying, you're my pearl of great price. You're the fairest of all. That's why he says, as Tirzah. And Tirzah, it's very sweet to know this, is a region in Israel which was the most lush and the beautiful and the most fruitful of all the places. It was the place where the kings of Israel reigned. It was so beautiful, that's where they wanted to reign from. Now take that for what it's telling us, just as Christ reigns in the heart of the full overcomer. See, the heart of the full overcomer is the most beautiful to Christ. That's where he reigns, amen? Those are the hearts that he reigns in. That's where the place that he, praise the Lord, is the ruler of the full overcomer. But the most perfect meaning of Tirzah, I love this, it means favorable and she will delight. And I think about that word favorable. I think of highly favored. Hallelujah. Grace. She loves grace. She delights that she's highly favored. She doesn't try to figure it out. She doesn't try to wonder why. Well, why? That's beyond. It don't matter. I am. As the Lord said, do you get it? I am that I am. It's because God did it. God did that with his grace with you. Isn't that wonderful? What the word of his grace does? I don't sit there and say, well, why? You know, Mom, why am I, even in the natural, Mom, why am I your son? She'd look at me like I'm a nut. Well, honey, you just are. You're born to me. How much more so with God? I don't need to try to figure it out. I just thank Him for the grace. I am that I am. Isn't that wonderful? It's just done, finished what it is. Hallelujah. And I thank God this precious sister realizes His delight in her and realizes it's all grace. And she grows on and goes on and goes on in this grace, and it just grows and grows and grows. And she's so thankful and delights that she is highly favored by Him. And there's no excuses. Doesn't feel sorry for other folks. It's for you too, but if you don't want it, that's okay. He highly favors me. And I know it. And you better know it too. Especially as you receive this. Praise be to God. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, He loves you. She is the vessel of the most grace. She really is. She's taken it all. Amen. And what has the profit, the inheritance, the ecstasy. This is why we're going to get to the place, we're not going to get there tonight, I don't think, but that's why I said, turn away from me, He says. Turn away thine eyes. I can't stand it. I love it. I love how He loves me, but I know what His grace is doing in me. But He says, oh, turn away from me. It's just too much. Hallelujah. See, brothers and sisters, these ones realize not only the most unmerited and undeserved of grace, but in grace, they realize that He's fully purposed for them. There's a difference there. See, we can be so thankful for the unmerited love, the unearned love, the all of this, but she goes on even from there, and she is so thankful that He is fully purposed for me. The favor keeps ramping up. Have you ever witnessed to people about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and ruling and reigning with Christ and being His bride and really letting folks know, look, there are going to be palm wavers in representation that'll be before the throne. And then there will be a company that marry Jesus that will be in the midst of the throne. And they absolutely are just offended. I mean offended. To almost a hate. Maybe a hate. Insulted. How dare you think you're better than me? See, turn right back to me. And it's not about me. It's about the place, taking the place that He has for me in Him, His rib, praise God. See, yes, it has to do with me, but it's all about Him. Amen? Christ in me, but it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? See, it's always Him. But see, once it starts to be me, then I'm not getting it. And that's why people get offended. Or say, oh, well, you're a nut. I remember as the Lord really hit my heart about when He said, oh, honey, I'm going to make known to them that I've loved you. I'm going to have them of the synagogue of Satan come and bow down before you and worship. That started making some folks in here even uneasy. What don't you understand about grace? What don't we understand? Oh, well, I can't take that place. Well, I guess you can't. But by the grace of God, I'm going to. I want that place because it honors Him. It's the crown of righteousness. It's Him. It's being found only, as Paul said, only in His righteousness. Only in His life. Only, and here's His life. It's the Word. And you know what He tells me? Take it, son. Take it, son. Take it, son. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Don't hesitate. Quick to believe it. Just take it. Take it. Run on. Don't analyze it. Don't start thinking with this. Because you'll stop. Because my thoughts aren't man's thoughts. It just can't be. My ways aren't man's ways. They're not. They're not your ways. That And I'm still, can you imagine, in human form. So there's a fight of faith going on. Most precious thing to him. So wonderful. This is why he put me in this. Because this thing is absolutely not just slow to believe. It don't want to believe. But God. But God, but God, but God. That's why, praise the Lord, we need to be feeding on the strong meat. I got to be strengthened for this run. Especially for the last rides here. Let me tell you something. I thank God for this sister's feeding. Because she was even bombarded right at the end by familiar friends. Oh, honey, I'll tell you, you really love him. You've done really good, but you got to back off. You're too stressed. You need to go enjoy. Come on. There's some folks in there that may not like you. Huh? Oh, you remember what happened to you back way when? Fight. Fight. God help us to fight and to press on. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. His love is breaking through. Thank you, Jesus. But see, the double portion is not even over here. Because grace's complete work is her life, she delights in that favor. But he goes on and says, oh no, honey, it's not just this Tirzah, you're comely as Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, if you remember, means double peace. You're as beautiful as double peace. See all the doubles? Amen? See all the double portions? Hallelujah. I think of this double peace and I always think, oh my goodness, when I lay hold of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, oh, what peace I am to the Father, to the Son. I have peace with God, and I have the peace of God. Grace has caused this double portion of peace. Faith has built in her the peace that passes all understanding. You think about what this peace can be built in our lives. Go over to Romans 15:13. You probably know this by memory. I pray God you know it in heart. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Isn't that wonderful? All joy, all peace. See, this is that double portion of peace. And how does that happen? That ye may abound in hope. See, when you abound in hope, that's the evidence of all joy and all peace. Amen, it is. And that's not an if, that's just when Jesus is coming. And boy, I'll tell you, your abounding will be a lot more when you're expecting him tonight. And not just soon. Oh yeah, he's coming soon. No, he's coming tonight. He's coming tonight. And I believe by the grace of God, Jesus is at that right hand tonight and said, yes, honey, I'm coming tonight. It's going to be my Father's will. But I believe he's sending me tonight. Huh? Oh, well, you're just getting too bold. Praise God. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, that's the only way it's going to be. So when you start to quench the Spirit, when you start to forbid people to speak in tongues, when you start letting ice grow on the pews, when you start to be feeling, and I don't mean strange fire, and don't get me wrong, but I thank God when people can't contain in a way. And they say amen, or praise the Lord, or thank you, Jesus. Or sometimes they even start running through the church. Can you imagine? What a bunch of nuts. I'm not trying to promote. I'm just saying thank you, Jesus, for the evidence of great love. But I've been to places, and I'm telling you, they're preaching the whole counsel of God, and you're hearing crickets. Don't ever be there. Don't. Oh, I love you, honey. I love you. Remember that? You're at a table. I love you. I love you. Oh, don't say it too loud. You're embarrassing me. Amen. Let us not be ashamed. Okay, let's wrap it up here. Last part of this is then terrible as an army with banners. If you didn't know the word of God, you'd think, who in the world, what in the world? But what an amazing word this terrible is when you look this up. This word terrible is most often used, and not just most often, almost without exception. You'll read the word terrible in the Old Testament describes Jehovah, describes God in a wonderful way, in an amazing way. So that way is that actually terrible means to honor, to stand in awe, and to respect. So think of what he's telling her. I stand in awe, respect, and in honor. Sounds like a wife to me. How about you? How many ways does he love you? Let me count the ways, huh? How do I love you? Praise God. It's just what it is. You couldn't make it up anyways. But this is again because she's like him. This is why that word is used. How terrible. And that's that precious word in the Hebrew. That is the description of Jehovah. Because she is taken and feasted completely upon him. She is like him. Amen? You think that's kind of why John, when he was translated up there into heaven and taken through and shown all these things by that wonderful, wonderful one that was with him, and he kept bowing down and worshiping that one, and that one kept picking him up and said, John, knock it off! Because he kept thinking it was Jesus. Because it was like him. Amen? Praise God. So, as well we know and have rejoiced not too long ago in a study, she's a lover, but she's also a warrior. Amen? She's a fighter. And as beautiful and appealing to him is her beauty and grace, as well as the grace that causes her to stand, withstand, and having done all to stand. And let me tell you something, that's a fighter. That's a warrior. That's a good soldier. The banner speaks, and notice it says banners, it's plural. It speaks of the manifold victories in her life. It's expressing that she is a full overcomer. But I was thinking too, though every one of those banners, meaning every one of those battles that the Lord enabled her by grace to win, the banner is always the same, it's love. The banner is always the same as love. Love is the victor. His love overcomes everything in our life. That's why Brother Paul, in the paramount of his prayer, that we would know the love of Christ. Amen? Because in knowing the love of Christ, you'll go on. In knowing the love of Christ, you'll believe him. Because even faith, do you know how faith works? It works by love. Oh, yes, it does. You'll never have faith even in the natural in anybody. Somebody hates you, you're not going to believe. Somebody punishes you all the time, you're not going to believe in anything they say. But when somebody loves you, you'll believe them. But how much the paramount of the only one, the only place, the one who is love, for God is love. That's why your faith will increase as you know the love of Christ. That's why Paul said to really know the love of Christ. The more you know him and know that love, and all the dimensions of it, let me tell you something. You'll believe the whole counsel of God. You will not doubt it. You will believe him. So that is why, praise God, the paramount of his love, I mean of Paul's prayer, was to know the love of Christ. And it's the same thing as when Paul says, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. You say, well, how could that be the same? Well, it is the same, because what is God? God is love. So he said that we would be filled with all the fullness of love. Praise God. That's what this is. And I pray we really get this someday, that it is all his all-powerful, endless, ever-changing us from glory to glory like him love that does it all. That's why it says in the Word of God, and I love when Brother says this once in a while, the violent take heaven by force. They're violently in love. Hallelujah. These are the ones that apprehend. Go look that up. You'll find a similar meaning there. Take him. They possess him. for their own. We'll stop there. Praise God. I am excited about Jesus with you. Hallelujah. He does so love us, doesn't He? And again, it's just the thanks and praise. And it is, it's grace, brothers and sisters, that will just permeate from our lives. And in that, remember, He gives grace to the humble. As we read about Paul, and he'll be faithful in this. But God help us not to be puffed up. Don't be puffed up in this. And when we are in love, you know, it's not about being puffed up. Even in the natural, when you really love somebody, it's not being, well, look, she loves me, you know, hey. You know, this isn't about, you know, who you're dating. It's about marriage. Lord, open our eyes to it, amen? When you're really in love, it's not about you. It's all about your lover. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.